This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Weekend for many, as it's been 20 years since the Twin Towers fell and another plane crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. A plane, of course, crashed into the Pentagon. We talked about that last week in looking ahead to Saturday and 9/11. But I am so proud of this country and the people who came together over the weekend. I saw so many American flags really everywhere and different types of remembrances of those who lost their lives on 9/11. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, hope you enjoyed the weekend and did remember those that were fallen on that horrible, horrible day, but also had a chance to spend time with your friends, family, or whatever it is you do on the weekend. Perhaps you were watching the full weekend of NFL football. We have some news about that. Or maybe you were getting a little last ounce of summer in, because I know a lot of people were trying to do that too as well, with some warmer temperatures across the U.S. And this weekend we weren't talking about flooding. It was more about cleanup in the wake of those terrible hurricanes that smashed into the U.S., you know, ultimately Ida was the worst one. So that cleanup is still happening in the Northeast and in Louisiana, Mississippi, Alabama a little bit, et cetera. And that will continue because there's so much rebuilding, et cetera, that is going on. But the conversation, as we fly into yet another week, has to be the president and what he had to say about mandates with vaccines and how companies are going to handle that when it comes, push comes to shove, and when some companies are still wrestling with a lack of employees at a certain level in the tiered systems they have. In other words, are they top-heavy or are they looking for entry-level people? It's a nightmare when it comes to the Rubik's Cube that now is what many companies look like with remote work, etc., and then the realities of, okay, so now there is a vaccine mandate. And what's happening with COVID-19 vaccinations and what's happening with the idea that there may be the booster. The booster conversation has definitely died down somewhat. And it's still more purely, I think, about the vaccinated and those that aren't vaccinated and the mask mandates and the arguments over to mask up, not mask up, and what if you don't want to wear a mask and all of the in-between that is the constant pulse of this nation, that it's not one and done. It's not 50,000 arguments and we're done. I mean, this thing has been going on, this tug of war has been going on since almost the beginning of the pandemic. And now we're wrestling with other mutations, especially obviously the Delta variant, and then Mu, and then what comes after that, and what happens ultimately in some of these situations where the ICU beds are, the reality is they are taken up, while in other parts of the United States there is more room at the hospitals and they're not having quite the crisis, but they're looking down the road and worried that they may end up in the same situation. Plenty of you had so much to say about that. When we hit the mailbag in our next segment, I will go to many of those questions and opinions on COVID, mutations, masking, and everything else in between. And then a couple of people had some recollections of 9/11 and thoughts on moving ahead with that. Plus the man cave, because I did mention that this was really the first full-on week in the NFL, and we'll dive into some of that. I think there was some buzz over some crazy things that happened in the NFL. That's sports, right? There is no script. You got to play them, and then you see ultimately what happens. And then, of course, Texas is under hurricane watch. We just got through this whole Ida thing. A hurricane watch ahead of Tropical Storm Nicholas. This was kind of unexpected, but this is parts of the Texas coast. So the storm is forecast to gain winds of 65 miles an hour Monday into Monday night. The center of the storm, you guessed it, located over the Gulf of Mexico, just east of southern Texas. So the watch would go from Port Aransas to Sargent, pretty much the map that I looked at. That's what I saw from the National Hurricane people, the National Hurricane Center. And that's exactly what it looked like. So Corpus Christi would be in that. There are parts of Galveston that would be a tropical watch. I mean, there's a difference. Hurricane warning, a watch, a tropical storm warning, and a tropical storm watch. Different if you get the hurricane watch, because that means 75-mile-an-hour winds are possible. And that's right there in Port Lavaca, Corpus Christi. You know, we have people listening to us in Brownsville, and that's into that tropical storm warning area, if that model that I saw holds up. But regardless, we know we're going to see some weather Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. It's going to shoot out of Texas and will probably linger a little bit into maybe part of Arkansas. Maybe Mississippi gets a little bit of that. It just, again, depends on the path and what that path looks like when it gets closer, because there is always the chance of a turn here or there, which would make a difference on where that landing is and who ultimately gets hit hard by whatever it is, whether it's the watch or more than that. But it's not going to be the full-on effects, I don't believe, from what I looked at. I can't say that for sure, but from what I looked at, it doesn't look like the full effects of what we saw, certainly, with Ida and the destruction that Ida brought both to Louisiana and Mississippi, a little Alabama, and then shooting up to the Northeast, and how horrific that was in New York City and Philadelphia, in Maryland, in parts of D.C., and, you know, what ultimately happened there. Donald Trump is making news. The former president has been making news over the noise over running in 2024. That's also part of the conversation as he's getting ready for another big rally, a rally where 10,000 are expected to show up. There are other Republicans who want to run in 2024, but who knows what that looks like as we get closer. Usually it's a 2-year run, so that before you know it, once you get into 2022, there's even more serious conversation about that. So we have a poll going. If you look at DeSantis, the governor of Florida, you look at Donald Trump, of course, the former president, many people still want him to run again for this next time around, and he has hinted and said that. And then there's even some noise about a few other high-profile Republicans. If you had a choice, who do you think should run in that spot against what most likely would be the current president, Joe Biden? Unofficial poll. Hit me up, Kate@KateDelaneyRadio.com. End of the week, we'll let you know what the results are, and we'll keep hammering it throughout the week along with a few other things as well. Meet you in the mailroom.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Yes, the pandemic is coming to an end. Restrictions are coming to an end. But body aches and pains never seem to end. That's why you need to click sunny-bay.com for the best sleep you can get. Sunny Bay's legendary products can help, like our lavender stress-reducing products, locally sourced and handmade in the USA. Or try Sunny Bay's award-winning pillows for traveling or extra neck support while sleeping. No need for pills or expensive chiropractic visits. Our neck support pillows are that good. Sunny Bay is a homegrown, small business, but our products are designed and rigorously tested based on your demand and feedback. And they make great gifts for mom, dad, or anyone. Find Sunny Bay products on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, or at sunny-bay.com. And right now, get free heat patches and a belt with any purchase. So remember, Sunny Bay heating pads, neck pillows, and stress-relieving hot or cold wraps. As restrictions come to an end and you get back to work, do it the healthy way with Sunny Bay.
Brought to you by Bank of America. A recent Bank of America survey found 61% of college students practice saving. However, just 45% create and stick to a budget. Budgeting is a critical lifelong skill and allows you to save strategically. Aaron McCullen, Head of Deposit Products at Bank of America.
As a college student, it's all too easy to overspend and bust your budget. Every dollar counts when purchasing textbooks, restocking the fridge, or catching up with friends over dinner. When you head back to campus and activities ramp up, creating or updating your budget is critical. Also look for ways to start saving for the future, even if it's a small amount. Automatic saving tools like Bank of America's Keep the Change make it easy to incorporate savings into everyday college life.
Keep the Change rounds purchases made with a Bank of America debit card to the nearest dollar and transfers the change to a savings account. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/students.
Oh, you have mail, mistress.
What? Dig in the mailbag.
All right, thanks to all of you who sent in lots of virtual mail. It is full. I always say that. It's really the truth. So we do have a couple of unofficial polls running, but the big one I just threw out there is more evidence. We know, we see it, that the former president, Donald Trump, is going to run for president. There are others who desperately, I shouldn't say desperately, really want the job on the Republican side of things and want to challenge what probably could be Joe Biden. I mean, anything can happen in the next couple of years. So DeSantis is one of the other big names, the governor of Florida. And also, I hear rumors about the governor of Texas who wants to run, supposedly. And there are definitely others who would put their names in the hat to go after that and go through the whole primary process and whatnot. What do you say? What do you think? And who pops up on the radar in your nook or cranny or crevice or canyon? Wherever you live, what are people saying? People are talking about the whole presidency thing in 2024. And again, the foregone conclusion that is probably Joe Biden for the Democrats, so it's really the Republican question. And you, too, can send your thoughts in at Kate at katedelaneyradio.com. All right, a couple of you sent things in about 9/11. I got this one from Tony in Connecticut. Yo, Kate, I know that you were on WFAN in New York City when 9/11 happened. I've heard you talk about it a couple of times, but I used to listen to you on The Fan. I enjoyed your take on the Yankees and the Giants and a few other things that were happening New York-wise. What was that like for you to be on the air when that was going on in our arguably greatest and certainly biggest city, and the big shock of it, I can tell you, for me and my family, we know some neighbors, or we knew some neighbors who were in the towers and actually got out in time before everything collapsed. They were working on the lower floors, so that was the good news. One didn't actually make it into the office. There's so many stories like that. It's crazy, and I know you know about those too as well. Hey, so Tony, thanks for that, and thank you for listening both to this show and to the show that I did in New York City. It was surreal, sad. Being on the air, I just wanted to be able to have people be able to connect and listen to the stories, because we weren't doing sports. We were talking to the first responders. We were talking to firemen. We were talking to people who lost people. We were talking to people about being there. We were talking to people about what they saw, what they heard, that kind of stuff. That was happening a lot. We were giving out resources, and it was really gut-wrenching, actually, for the first couple of weeks especially. And then I was never so proud as the way the city and so many people in the United States in general, because I wasn't even just thinking about, even though I was there in New York City, I was thinking about the response from everyone around the United States, and it was incredible and made me incredibly proud to be an American and to see that, yeah, we can have differences, but look at how people are trying to uplift the people who were really especially hit by, you know, the widows, except for the people who were really hit by what happened on 9/11. So it was tough. It wasn't tough about me, but it was tough to hear the stories and to be there in the middle of all that, and just to try to be the conduit, just to let people talk and connect. That was it. All right, another one about 9/11. This one is from Charles, and Charles says, "Hello, Kate. I was supposed to be at the Pentagon. Don't know if I would have been in that particular area of the Pentagon at the moment when the plane struck, but I had a consult, and I can tell you that I just missed a train that probably prevented me from perhaps being one of the casualties of that day, and it has never left me that I feel that I was spared, and I feel so sad for those who lost family members in what was a terrible day in our history. And it often makes me furious when I read stories about what did we not connect, and could things have been different? What could have happened where information was shared, and would it have stopped some of those planes from being taken over and ultimately crashing the way they did? But we did certainly come together and rebuilt and learned as a nation some of, I think, the lessons that we needed to hear about sharing information with intelligence agencies, especially. I heard you talking about that on one of your shows, that you weren't so sure that a lot of that was happening. You knew it was somewhat, but there is always the territorial turf wars, and you're right about that. So I would agree with you. I can't say that in my line of work that everybody is sharing every single thing they know, but I think it's a hell of a lot better. All right, thanks for that perspective, and yes, I hope so. I mean, absolutely. That's what we would certainly want to see. All right, let's move on to something else. I'm going to try to rifle through a bunch of these. This one is from Dan, who says, "Kate, I know that you grew up in Philly, and I'm wondering what you thought of your Philadelphia Eagles. My fiance is an Eagles fan, and I can tell you that she just thinks that they have a shot at going back to another Super Bowl." Well, it's the first game of the season, so yeah, they beat the Falcons 32-6. Jalen Hurts looked incredible. You know, 3 touchdowns, 260-plus yards. But I think in the NFC East, the Cowboys look good, too. Yes, they lost to the Buccaneers, but Dak Prescott is back. Ezekiel Elliott, he's there. Amari Cooper. So let's see what happens in the East. So anyone listening out there who thinks their team with one win is, you know, they're world beaters and they're going to win they're going to go to the Super Bowl and hoist the Lombardi Trophy, good for you. That's a fan. You got their back, but it's only one game in. The Saints thrashed the Packers. Who dat nation? I love my people in New Orleans. How about it? Jameis Winston looking really good. I mean, not throwing for a ton of yards, but doing what he had to do. So 38-3. Oh, and the benching of Aaron Rodgers. Woo, all that conversation about Aaron Rodgers. Anyway, we'll get into that more in the man cave. And let's see, let's bounce to something else. This is about COVID. All right, Nick says, Kate, you're right. The tug of war, as you call it, over masks, over the vaccine, over the methods. For God's sake, my goodness, let's just figure this damn thing out. Get the best scientists on it, which I know a lot are. Give them breathing room and stamp it out. I feel like we're in a movie where we can't shut it off. It is like Groundhog Day. And then you're concerned about what happens when business is flourishing and then it closes down again. What happens when people that you know suddenly fall ill and they're barely pulling through and they can't breathe and they're in their 30s. And I know, because that would be my age, and I'm seeing that happen to a couple of people around me. One who refused to get vaccinated got really ill. Another who did get vaccinated and had a breakthrough infection, if you will. So let's figure this out. All right, let's figure this out. Absolutely, if it were only that easy, right? Snap our fingers. Come on, where's the magic pill? But you have the president who last week announced that mandate that any company with at least 100 employees, they have to mandate their workforce. So they've got it. The only way you are not part of that is if you have a religious or medical exemption. And that's pretty hard to get. So, but although the exemption could be abused, I guess, right? Because are you going to start to question and investigate everybody who says, I have a religious exemption? But there's been some serious opposition. There are plenty of Republican governors who say they're going to oppose the mandate. They're going to have legal action. They're going to sue if necessary, saying it's unconstitutional. I mean, this is a nightmare. It is. It's a complete nightmare because we have a war going on with this virus, and we have to figure out a way to. I think there's no known, right? So you hear one thing and then you hear something else. There's a pullback and then there's not the pullback. There's the masks would make a difference, especially with the unvaccinated. And then you have some businesses who are relieved that this is going into place because they're afraid that if they have people back in the office, there's going to be some kind of spreading event. So we're in a new uncharted phase of the pandemic. How do we get, let's just get through this. I agree with you. We need to get through this and get back to normal. I mean, this is what we want, right? How do we get back to normal? By the way, the new mandate affects like 80 million Americans, with about 17 million workers at health facilities required to get vaccinated, and a lot of them don't want to. Hang with us.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki. North Korea says it has test-fired long-range cruise missiles over the weekend. North Korean state media claim they've tested the weapons and successfully hit a target over 900 miles away. The reports made no mention of North Korean leader Kim Jong-un witnessing the test. South Korean officials also have yet to comment on or verify reports of the launch. And the chief White House medical advisor says that he would support a requirement for all air passengers to be vaccinated. In an interview with the Skim This podcast, Dr. Anthony Fauci said he supported the mandate after Virginia Democratic Representative Don Beyer introduced legislation last week to require all Amtrak and airline employees to get vaccinated or test negative for COVID at least once a week. The bill, known as the Safe Travel Act, also advocates for all travelers on commercial airlines and Amtrak lines to be vaccinated or test negative within 3 days of traveling. This is USA Radio News. Two prominent senators dueled Sunday over their support for a $3.5 trillion Democratic infrastructure spending package. Jeremy Scott has more.
Senator Joe Manchin of West Virginia says he will not vote for the $3.5 trillion budget reconciliation bill that contains a number of climate, social welfare, and other incentives, arguing the price tag is far too high.
He will not have my vote on $3.5, and Chuck knows that, and we've talked about this. We've already put out $5.4 trillion, and we've tried to help Americans in every way we possibly can. And a lot of the help that we've put out there is still there, and it's going to run clear until next year.
Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders did not like what he heard on CNN's State of the Union.
But it's absolutely not acceptable to me. I don't think it's acceptable to the president, to the American people, or to the overwhelming majority of the people in the Democratic caucus.
The Senate hopes to pass the package this week so the House can do so by the September 27th deadline given by House Speaker Pelosi. From the USA Radio News Oregon Bureau, I'm Jeremy Scott.
And this is USA Radio News.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen
Come
here.
Come on, lady. Get a move
Goodness.
On. Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, and they make such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the
group? Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop this senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks so much for kicking off the week with us. It was a somber weekend. Lots of American flags. I said that at the top. Yay, go America. I'm proud of everybody for really not forgetting. You know, that was one of the big things that I saw in New York, but everywhere that I traveled. I've had the great fortune of living in every part of the United States. Not every state, but I'm not a thousand years old, but having the chance to live in all the different, I call them quadrants. And I have met amazing people, and everybody was concerned. Everybody cared what happened. Everybody used the hashtag, although it wasn't a hashtag then, but had bumper stickers, etc., T-shirts, we won't forget. We saw the decals on cars all over the United States. I saw that, we won't forget. And people did not forget. It didn't matter if you were in Ottumwa, Iowa. Didn't matter if you were in Oklahoma City or you're in Tucson, Arizona, New Orleans, after everything that's been going on there, people still paid homage, in a sense, in their own way, and there was all kinds of events, to the lives that were lost on that day. And it changed what happened in America. It was scary. And then I think we came together and we flipped it around, and now here we are. I mean, 9/11 was a huge test, in a sense, a sad test that none of us ever wanted. But now here we are with the pandemic that's pulling us all in all kinds of directions. I mean, it's like a story I read today in the Washington Post. An Alabama man died after being turned away from 43 hospitals because of the ICUs, what was happening with the ICUs, etc. His name is Ray DeMoyna, and he was having a cardiac emergency. So his family, of course, were anxious. They were looking for a hospital, needed space in the intensive care. But Alabama has massive coronavirus infections, and unvaccinated patients have overwhelmed the hospitals. I mean, this isn't political rhetoric. This is just the facts. So it's me. Oh, I can't even imagine how I would feel if I were in that scenario and my family member died because they had no space. No space. And he came from his hometown was Cullman, Alabama. And I spoke in Cullman, Alabama, and spent some time with the people there. I love the people in Cullman. And they contacted, you know, all these hospitals in three other states. They could not get him the care that he needed. So eventually he was transferred to a hospital about 200 miles away, but he died a couple of days shy of, you know, his birthday. He was 73 years old. So they say, listen, this is what's happening. When you hear the stories of, hey, if these, we keep warning about ICU beds, if you start to hear that and you say, oh, there's only two ICU beds or there's one in Austin, Texas, or wherever it might be, you know, because that's fluctuated depending on the cases, this is what can happen. That you have somebody who could have made it, but couldn't because there was just no, the level of care that he needed wasn't available in his hometown, and they didn't have the resources to get him into the places where he needed to be because they were all taken up. So by the time you find that spot, it's too late. You know, and this is it. This is real life in our face showing you how that can happen. I mean, look, Alabama Governor Kay Ivey, Republican, said she's been pushing for unvaccinated people to get their shots, saying that the state would never mandate it, but said to the president, bring it on, right? Just bring it on. So this is the reason why. So $12 million in federal funding this month to bring travel nurses to Alabama hospitals because of the staffing shortages. Just like what happened with that family. Staffing shortages. No way could they get them in. Just stuck. And this was a popular, wonderful man who helped so many in the community. And imagine the family, boy, imagine the family grappling with that. I mean, he was a Alabama Crimson Tide football lover to the max. He liked the Allman Brothers. He liked the Eagles. He watched Jeopardy and was a guy that was, again, somebody who people in the community really liked, knew, etc. He was a count. You know what he was? He was a count on you guy. And so when the count on you guy needed someone to count on, they couldn't do it. And it's because of this SOB of a virus, but the repercussions of there's no space, there's no people. We have staff shortages, right? Yes. And this is the fear. So there's the face of what can happen. It's not just talk. It's not just empty rattle out there that, you know, hey, somebody gets in a car accident, somebody needs to be in an ICU, and we don't have it. What do you do? Where do you go? All right, just quickly, here's just what you need to know. Here's what's going on with COVID-19. Of course, it's different vaccinations, the ICU bed availability, the outbreaks, all of that different in all states. Unvaccinated people, according to the CDC, 11 times more likely to die of COVID-19. Is this a statistic to scare you? They're just doing a study and saying this is what we found. And we found that three major studies that we published, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, highlight that the efficacy, easy for me to say, that's 3 cups of coffee, of all the vaccines amid the spread of the highly contagious Delta variant, it's holding up. there are people, yes, there are people who can't get vaccinated. There are people who don't want to get vaccinated. Yes, we know all that. But what their studies are showing is what I just said, right? It's like somebody said to me, somebody who didn't really want to get a vaccine, a good friend of mine, but who has to travel a little bit and has been traveling a little bit, said, you know what? Here's the thing. Do I think this is the best way to prevent this? Do I think this is an amazing thing? No. I think it's amazing that we have something. We have to have something. What else can we do? And, you know, it's not the horse dewormer. It's not the other things that people are just throwing at the dartboard to think are going to work at this point. I mean, I wish there was. I wish there was a pill that we could take that we all agreed upon. Bottom line is, you know, we got to turn this corner. We do. We have to turn this corner. And we have to be able to move on. Otherwise, we're dealing with this, all of us, no matter what your age, no matter where you live. This becomes the narrative, right? That it's like the bumper stickers. Yeah, you only have one life to live. Life is short. Who knows? You know, it's just a big, it's an extra added question mark. I mean, the virus has killed 650,000 people in the U.S., 1,500 average daily deaths for the past 8 days. But we haven't seen that since like early March. And this is some of the data that's been analyzed by a couple of different studies. Washington Post analyzed it too. They ran the numbers to make sure the numbers were right. You know, the CDC studies, they're trying to offer something that's more clear because it's confusing, right? It's confusing what we're being told about waning immunity and the vaccine's protection against a more contagious variant. So you think, well, I just got jabbed twice 4 months ago or whenever it was, and how much is this going to protect me? And how effective is it for older adults? How effective is it for people with underlying conditions? What about the Delta variant? I mean, the Delta variant accounts for 99% of the new coronavirus infections, so Delta is the thing. That's the thing. And when we look at the brands, when we look at what really are going to get people on board with the boosters, I can tell you this, and I said this in another show, that I can crunch all the numbers and I can spit them all out for you, and I can give you various opinions from all kinds of super smart people that I know and super silly people I know. And the bottom line is we all want this to go away. We all want this to be out of our lives. We all want to be able to just go wherever we want to go and not even think twice about ending up in a situation like our friend from Cullman, Alabama, where, wow, something happens. You have an unexpected heart attack, stroke, something, and there's no place to take you because there's nobody to help you at the hospital and the ICU beds are all taken up. Right. And there are all these studies looking at the effectiveness of the Pfizer, BioNTech and Moderna and how is it working and what is it the effectiveness doing? Is it preventing hospitalizations in people 65 and older compared with the 90% that are 18 to 64? I mean, they're looking at all kinds of extremes of this. So, again, Delta variant is the thing. The cases and the deaths in the U.S., what's disconcerting is what's going on in some of the hospitals where there's not even enough workers. And now with the vaccine mandates and plenty of people who work in the hospital industry in some ways saying that they're not interested in getting the vaccine, and if they can't do the weekly tests, then they're out. How many people are going to be out of that profession? How many shortages of nurses, aides, etc. are we going to have in some of these hospitals? Something to think about. Man Cave next.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Argo Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
Do you feel like you're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
What will you do if there's a sudden food shortage? Given recent headlines, it seems likely, and at any moment. That's why it makes common sense to build your emergency food storage supply now, while you still can. Do it with the kind of food that stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Food that doesn't go bad like what you get at the grocery store. Whose food should you trust? The largest preparedness company in America, My Patriot Supply. We've served millions of American families going on 14 years. At MyPatriotSupply.com, our mission is your survival. Our emergency food could definitely be your lifesaver when the peanut butter hits the fan. Choose from dozens of delicious meal kits that provide over 2,000 calories a day, which is what your body needs. Order today and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
The Man Cave, a.k.a. also the Woe Man Cave. It was all about the NFL, let's face it. The Buccaneers narrowly beat the Cowboys to start things off on Thursday, 31-29. And then we had the Sunday action. The Eagles, the NFC East foe of the Cowboys, beating the Falcons 32-6. We'd be talking about Jalen Hurts. Three touchdowns and 264 yards, passed for 264 yards. And team members like Devonta Smith, who looks so good, six catches, 71 yards, and a TD. And that was a key TD, his first NFL TD. Steelers beat the Bills 23-16. Josh Allen was looking good. I was thinking, oh, I don't know, this may happen. But the Steelers were able to extend their lead with a blocked punt for a touchdown. That was a big moment in that game. So they win it. The Bills lose it in overtime. Oh, the mothership for those who are Vikings fans, like Jeremy, our technical maestro, must not be happy with this. It was a close game. But the Bengals pulled it out, 27-24. Mm-hmm. It was looking like, to me, it was a field goal, of course, in overtime, but it was looking like to me that the Vikings were going to close that gap. But hey, hey, Cincinnati, right? 49ers and the Lions. The 49ers jumped up on this thing pretty early. They scored 24 points in the second quarter. They beat the Lions 41-33. And, of course, Jared Goff is the quarterback now for the Lions. And he threw for 338 yards in the losing effort and three touchdowns. But the Lions are back to where they've been too many times. First game, though, Cardinals beat the Titans 38-13. Kyler Murray threw four touchdowns, ran in another. So that was big. The Titans, where were you? Knock, knock. Seattle beats the Colts 28-16. Russell Wilson, four touchdowns in that win. Chargers beat Washington 20-16. They put up 7 points in the first quarter and had another six. So they went into the locker room with a slight lead, and they were able to hold off Washington in the end. The go-ahead touchdown, just Washington could never come back from Justin Herbert finding Mike Williams in the corner. It's a beautiful shot for the TD. Panthers beat the Jets 19-14. Sam Darnold, quarterback for Carolina, 279 passing yards and a touchdown. Texans took care of the Jags with Trevor Lawrence, the new quarterback for Jacksonville, 37-21. How about this? The Chiefs were getting beat by the Browns. They pulled it out in the end, though. This is vintage Pat Mahomes, right? Incredible comeback. An exciting game. 33-29. Pat Mahomes, my goodness, you have my respect, but you did a long time ago. 337 passing yards, 3 TDs for him. Dolphins eked it out, 17-16 over the Pats. Oh, how about the Saints? Who dat nation? You gotta love this. 38-3, and Aaron Rodgers benched for Love. What? 38-3, the final. Jameis Winston, 14-20, 148 passing yards, 5 touchdowns. It was so much about the defense and also what happened on the ground, too, that made a big difference. The Broncos beat the Giants 27-13. And then the Rams, oh, Matt Stafford, I love Matt Stafford. Getting out of Detroit was the best thing for him. Now he's in Los Angeles, 321 passing yards, 3 TDs, very, very, very big game for him. They're going to be, I think, deadly. And then the Monday night game, Ravens and the Raiders, and that game kicks at 8:15 Eastern. All right, so we have an announcement. A lot of you have asked me about Sharon listening to us in the great state of Maine, and also Jake listening to us in Texas and some others. What about Nail the Score? So, yes, we are doing Nail the Score. Nail the Score. Nail the Score will be on our Tuesday show, unless we have, you know, there's holiday things and whatever, but I'll announce if it's going to be an earlier day, if it's not going to be on Tuesday. Most of them will fall on Tuesday. So plan on Tuesday. It will be the last segment of our first hour. And you can only be part of it if you're listening to us live. And that means you're listening to the hour, you call in, you send me an email, I announce what the game is, you tell me what you think the score is going to be of the game, who's going to win, that's it. That's it. It's that easy. Like if you had the Eagles and the Falcons, you thought the Falcons were going to win 35-28. Well, of course, that wasn't the score. But if you nailed it, then because once you shout out a score, you own it, you win the prizes from the prize closet. And it is bursting at the seams. Seriously, there's some really great prizes, and we have so much fun doing it. So please participate in Nail the Score. It is fun, fun, fun. All right, I mentioned Aaron Rodgers, so shocking. He said, well, I played bad. Matt LaFleur says the Saints absolutely embarrassed the Packers. You think? So this was, remember, in Jacksonville because you couldn't play in New Orleans. So Aaron Rodgers had, like, the worst game of his career. And you never, I can't even remember ever hearing him say, I played bad. And nobody saw that coming. You know, they're coming off their second straight 13-win season, a second straight NFC Championship game appearance. Rodgers was the MVP. The 35-point loss suffered by the Packers, worse in a season opener by a team played in either the AFC or NFC Championship game the previous season. Wow. You know, that's it. And afterwards, like, Matt LaFleur said, oh, they embarrassed us today. And then Rodgers said, I'll let him use those words, and I'll say, it's just one game. We played bad. I played bad. Offensively, we didn't execute very well. One game, we've got 16 games to go. So, yeah, he take a seat. Step in, Mr. Love, so see what you can do at the tail end of the game. It is just one game. I can't imagine that Aaron Rodgers is going to look like this in the next game, but wow, what a shocker, to say the least. What a shocker. Speaking of shocker, also from the sports world, Novak Djokovic was trying to get a Grand Slam, meaning in tennis, you win the Australian Open, the French Open, Wimbledon, and the U.S. Open, and at the end, he just melted down in tears. He lost a stunner, straight set loss. Daniil Medvedev stunned him. This guy was like a chess player on the court. I saw bits and pieces of that as I was jumping back and forth with the football. And he beat him 6-4, 6-4, 6-4. I mean, that he denied him the first calendar year Grand Slam in men's tennis since 1969. It was like a who's who in New York. You had Brad Pitt cozying up with his pal Bradley Cooper and just a ton of other celebrity-type people, and the regular folks were there to see history being made, and it wasn't me. It was all about Medvedev instead. He won 20 of his first 23 service points. He just was so good. He was just too good is what it was. And so he won, and he was gracious about it. Djokovic was gracious about it and said he was friends with Medvedev, and so it all ended up okay at the end. But he was, I've never seen him so choked up. It's okay for guys to cry when they lose, when history could have been made. I thought it was so awesome to see the human side of him, and he showed it big, big time. Yeah, big time. Oh, yeah, Evander Holyfield tried some boxing. You know how he was the king of the ring? He was not the king of the ring this time around. Age showed. Might have been fun to watch, but I'm not going to pull any punches. Yeah, he's almost 60. It was not much of a fight. Not much of a fight. Music means I got to dance off this stage. Thanks to all of you for listening to this hour. Make it count, everybody. You're doing what you were made for? Do you love what you do? Do you feel inspired or at least pretty happy most days? In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big and Become Extraordinary, I share the secrets that rock stars share with me from the business world, people like Sir Richard Branson, or sports hall of famers like former Cowboy great Emmitt Smith. All of them had one thing in common. They paid attention to their gut, followed their dreams, and didn't listen to the critics. George Eliot says it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of Deal Your Own Destiny on Amazon today.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea helps regenerate new cells. Everything from the cells in our skin to the cells in our organs, so they function properly. Great for healthy people and can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a disease. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.